Welcome to the Data Life podcast. In this podcast, we talk about the real life experiences with data, personalities, tools, and more. Today, we are talking with Akshay Kanade, who is a business analyst at GlobeTax working in New York City. He likes taking a big view of data and has a very interesting spiritual views on data analytics and life in general. He's also a handwriting expert. He can read people's handwriting and can recognize a lot about their personalities. I'm really excited to have Akshay on the show. I'm sure you're going to have a great time listening to his views on data, analytics, consciousness, and spirituality at work and more. Without further ado, let's invite Akshay on the show. Hi Akshay, welcome to the show. So let's get started with maybe if you could say something about how being an analyst has influenced you.
Thank you, Sanket, for inviting me to this show. Yes, indeed, being an analyst has brought me all the way from India to the US in order to first study analytics and then start implementing it. In terms of how I got into analytics was, I realized that I usually think a lot and think lesser than what we can term as overthinking. Maybe in buying things from Amazon or eBay or selecting on which color would be suitable for which occasion. I may not be influencing my buying decisions based on that, but being an analyst has definitely influenced my life. Apart from that, whenever it comes to cooking, one of my favorite hobbies, it's again the same thing. It's a warm weather, cold weather. What should I serve? Cold food, hot food, things like that. So being an analyst has definitely helped me to take a deep dive in terms of everything that we do in our company, in our daily life, and just build a vision for the future.
Fantastic. So I saw that you have a very interesting experience doing data science at the Denver International Airport. So can you talk more about how you connect what you said just now with like a practical experience or something that you really enjoyed at the airport?
Yeah, sure. So I was working at the Denver International Airport first as an intern. It was a fascinating place to be where I was able to interact with a lot of people, right from decision makers in business technologies, revenue management, all the other aviation staff, right from the people who work on the ramps, on the runway, who drive around vehicles, who guide the airplanes to the parking lot, who move the baggages around, and just take a really good approach in terms of understanding how the airport functions right from the parking lot till the takeoff. And that journey initially was about learning these things. And then I started working very closely with business technologies and the concessionaires' revenue. Concessionaires are actually the shops that are placed on the airport, which have maybe a small restaurant, maybe bookstores, some clothing store, any apparels, or just a place to hang out or place to buy a magazine, charge your phone, or things like that. So my job was to analyze their revenue, try to make some predictions based on the passenger movement, passenger data, and also work in terms of the flight schedules, the upcoming new concourses, because Denver International Airport was undergoing, it is still undergoing a transformation. It's expanding, so adding new gates, a new entire concourse. So that was definitely exciting in terms of imagining myself as a passenger, how would I move throughout the airport, what kind of places I would like to go. And because we have a Wi-Fi tracking technology inbuilt in that airport, we are able to figure out in terms of a heat map, how a group of passengers moves around an airport. Do they walk through a store? And my idea behind that was thinking more in terms of how can we convert the browsers into buyers that would go into the store, buy a thing rather than just pass by. And with the given Wi-Fi tracking system, we were also able to figure out if passengers that are coming from an airline, that are boarding an airline, or they are just transferring at the airport. So there were different ways and data points to collect. For example, we have already built the train schedule, that the train that goes within the concourses based off on the passenger movement. So that was just one small implication of how we were trying to implement the analysis. Apart from that, it was a beautiful experience because we could go out on the runway, we could go on in the aircrafts and just tailgate a plane while it lands, which is really a once in a lifetime opportunity, I believe.
That sounds fascinating, Akshay. I think that airport experience is really once in a lifetime, as you said. So what I want to kind of go and get started with is like, the title of the show is like Yogi's Guide to Analytics. So I want to know a little bit more about who is a yogi and how do we do introspection, how to develop it, and how it relates with being a yogi.
Wow, that's a great question. Who is a yogi? To put it in a very easy way, yogi is someone who's the practitioner of yoga. And yoga is the science that unites any given objects, any given personalities, any given elements. So when you say bhakti yoga, it is the yoga of devotion, being one with the divine and trying to connect your soul to the greater soul. Similarly, yoga is found in every activity that you do, where your mind, body and the soul becomes one, or they come to one level, they unite. For instance, when you go to sleep and you are in a deep sleep where you are not able to understand what's going around you until unless you wake up. This is the state even beyond where you have any dreams. In this state, there are no dreams. It's a silent, peaceful sleep. So that unification, that concentration and focus is achieved by the yogi. And it is achieved in terms of gaining knowledge, studying any scriptures, implementing that knowledge, and making most use of it for the benefit of the humanity, of the community, the people around them, and attaching themselves to a greater cause than any personal gains.
What I find really interesting in your explanation of being a yogi is how, like, our basic everyday activities can also be considered as yoga or meditation, you know, so that is kind of cool. To follow up on this, I have a question. How to kind of use these concepts of being a yogi in our data science and data analytics field and the reverse as well, like how to take knowledge of what we have in the field of analytics and data science into kind of our daily life?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first and foremost thing, if we are a data scientist or any analyst or any profession, one thing that I feel is important for all of us is to stop looking at ourselves as just a statistical entity, that I exist, I go to work Monday through Friday, I come back, I have a routine. Well, everyone does that going around the clock. But what could be done to achieve something more that has been put into you, that has been embedded in each and every one of us? That could be a very specific art you're good at, one of the rare skills that you possess, something that is of very utmost interest to you, which excites you, and which you can do it at any given point, and that will make you happy for sure. And this thing could be either a hobby or a profession or just an activity that makes you feel peaceful or happy. Apart from this, what's important, I believe, is to think of how we have a test data set and a trained data set. That first, if we are analyzing something, we break down the data saying, let's say I want to predict what's going to happen after 12 months. In that case, I'll break down the 12 months worth of data into 8 months, and I will analyze those 8 months, how is the trend, how is the pattern. I'll build a small formula, I'll apply it to the remaining 4 months to make it the same year. And then looking at that pattern, if it works out pretty well, if I find a good correlation, I would start implementing the same formula to the next 12 months. So this is the train and test data set. But if we have to implement the same ideology on our own activities, our own daily activities, in terms of what did I do last weekend that made me happy on a Monday, or what did I do throughout the week that made me less tired when I came back home from work. And thinking about these things will help you understand what clicks, what makes you do that activity that's making you healthier, happier. And if you are happy, of course, people around you will also reciprocate that happiness eventually, and you will be able to pass on that happiness wherever you go. And the third thing I would mention is, when we have a analytics model, usually we call it the best fitting model. If you look at it closely, it is called the best fitting model. It's not the perfect model. So what does this mean? It means that perfection is absolute necessity, but don't exhaust yourself while going towards perfection. The aim should be progression from where you are to going another step on the ladder, another step on the ladder, and climbing the ladder, rather than probably cribbing about what you're unable to do, what you're unable to deliver to yourself, and just trying to proceed further by breaking that barrier, breaking that mental barrier at times, that you know you have the capacity, but just because of the attitude that you have towards a problem, it becomes a bigger problem, right? So that is something I believe a yogi might be able to give insight upon through their practice and their knowledge. Of course, in olden times, there were no computers, there was no data, but still they were able to sit and meditate in one place and probably come up with practical, applicable theories in terms of the sound of the sun. Today, NASA has proved that the sound of the sun is Om, whereas if you go back to any Sanskrit scriptures, almost all the scriptures start with Om. So how did the yogis in the olden days come up with this knowledge? Introspection, meditation, or just focus on deep thinking, what we call as deep learning today. So if you try to analyze what's the significance or what is the correlation between deep thinking, deep learning, not only in the modern sense or the technological sense, but it is just taking a deep dive or thinking deeper, thinking harder. What could be the cause behind this? If you find that cause, what could be the cause behind that? Sometimes you might be going in circles, and sometimes you might yourself find the cause behind maybe the pain that you suffer, maybe the progress that you want to make but are unable to make, or the barriers that are probably holding you back. Just recently, I was talking with someone, and that person was mentioning that getting an internship in a bigger company has a lesser chance. I have asked a lot of people, and getting a full-time job is a easier thing. Almost 8 out of 10 people say getting into so-and-so college is difficult. I have had a lot of people coming to me with these statistics and probabilities. And I always go up to them and say, hey, look, this is a great data that you've gathered. But when you say 8 out of 10 people are not going to get into a university or that internship or that company, well, 2 out of 10 people are going to get it. They have gotten it. So why not focus and explore the possibility or the probability of the certain outcome that is success? So focus on the part that you really want to achieve rather than what you see as an obstacle, because that is how it triggers your consciousness, subconsciousness, and eventually comes before you as a reality.
I think that is really fascinating point of view, Akshay. I think that thing that you mentioned about deep thinking and deep learning, That is kind of like really fascinating. I don't think many people view it like that. And it's really something to kind of ponder about. We'll be right back after a short break. So the next thing I want to like kind of take our conversation forward is, how do you see the power of consciousness and spirituality at work in our analytics jobs, in our engineering jobs? How do you see those kind of powers playing a role, and how can we develop it?
So just like I mentioned, that when it comes to success, we should be looking at the possibility and try to overcome our own barriers. That comes first of all through self-introspection, like we discussed, about understanding our strengths, understanding our weaknesses or limitations. For an analyst or someone who is a very overthinking personality, for them, analysis of any given question could be a strength or a weakness also, because an overthinking person might not be able to make any decision by the end of thinking. It becomes a waste of time sometimes, and they're not able to move forward. So keeping it very limited in terms of, this is the given problem, these are the options that I have, maybe I'll give it a thought at a different point of time and I'll work on them, and I'll come back to the question and again add these new points to my previous hypothesis. So comparing your alternatives and thinking very critically about what could be done to have a win-win scenario. The reason I say a win-win scenario is because of course every individual wants to win, but take any example from history of any leaders, may it be Mother Teresa, Mahatma Gandhi, Swami Vivekananda, or Yogi Paramahansa Yogananda. All these people have been always attaching themselves to a cause bigger than themselves. I remember a very nice Sanskrit couplet, or a Subhashit we say. It goes something like, Pibanti nadyah swayameva nabhah, swayam na khadanti phalani vrukshah. This means that the rivers don't drink their own water, the trees don't eat their own fruits. And the next line is, payodharah sasya madanti naiva, paropakaraya satam vibhutayah. Which means that the clouds that are carrying rainwater in them, going over the crops, the farms, they don't hoard the water to themselves. They give it freely. And similarly, the wise people, the intellectual people, they toil themselves, the intellectual people engage themselves into a cause greater than themselves. So imagine a tree, right? The tree never says, I will give shade only to an animal, I will give shade only to so and so people, I will give fruits only to these people. It never keeps itself restricted to who it gives and what it gives. It gives all of it. Even by the end of it, it will have its own woods to give it to people. So this personification, if we bring it into our own lives, and if we really want to succeed as a leader, as an individual, and help people by enabling them to understand their own strengths, become better leaders, and enable those around them to help themselves, is an ideology I really like to think deep about, and I try to work for it. And I think that's the way to go while moving forward in this globalized world.
That is a really interesting point about how the nature doesn't stop itself from giving. It's kind of giving without judgment. And I can really relate with that, because sometimes we judge our co-workers or our customers or whatever, that you know, this is a bad customer or a good customer or a good co-worker or a bad co-worker, you know. So that was something really interesting point, Akshay. So I want to kind of ask you a follow-up on that, which is that how are you kind of using this ideology of like kind of giving to the world? Is there any project that you're working on or something that you want to talk about?
Yes, Sanket. So there is a project that I'm working on. It's called a website called as Prajna Tantra. which is a web-based career consulting platform, as pragnatantra.com. And through this website, me and my team are trying to help students in all age groups and also working professionals in all age groups who are looking to advance in their career, may it be selecting a university, studying abroad, looking at the resume in a different way, tackling the networking strategy, looking for a bigger picture while applying to a job rather than just selecting a few companies and trying to keep hitting at those companies. Apart from this, the main criteria for helping people is graphology, or the science of handwriting analysis. I am myself a handwriting analyst and I have analyzed over 500 to 600 samples. Through handwriting analysis, we can tell people about their strengths, weaknesses, connections, health, relationships, and also about their personalities. So it gets easier to implement your strengths after you identify them, because a lot of people do not have access to all the tools possible to analyze their own strengths. We all have our own strengths. So how do we analyze or highlight those strengths with your character and your personality and try to align a career track, a career path to you so that you proceed in a happy way? And even if you face challenging times, we are there to help you and push you forward. And another beautiful aspect of this project is that a lot of people in many nations do not have access to mentors. Of course, a mentor is not someone that you go in the market and you can pay for a mentor. But if we understand the individual based on their own strengths and limitations and start a conversation to help them grow, we can establish a good mentoring program for these students as well. So that's another part of this website.
Okay, that sounds good. I'll connect the listeners to your website in the show notes. You can also reach Akshay online via LinkedIn. Actually, I have a kind of a separate question, which is maybe not directly related to this project, but is a more of a general question. Is you said you've done a lot of like handwriting analysis. I'm curious, like, do you see handwriting analysis more as a science or as an art?
Yeah, so handwriting analysis is a very intriguing concept. It is a science, it is also an art. It is a science because there are a few patterns that you look for, a lot of chemistry that goes on a piece of paper through your brain, from your hand, gets on a piece of paper, and analyzing that, not word by word, but the entire page and in its entirety, is all about an art in terms of how much do you know about the science and how much can you implement about the person. For example, if we find some disappointing fact or something disturbing about the individual, we would not be able to bring it forth in a rude manner. We need to be very considerate about the feelings as well. So it's not a mechanical thing that you can just put it in a machine and it'll give you an output, but it's an art in that way. Graphology is about the thoughts, that the subconscious thoughts that come on a piece of paper through your handwriting. And the handwriting, we look at it as a graph rather than any alphabet. And that subconscious mind gives these thoughts on a piece of paper, which are being analyzed by analyst to give you a bigger picture in terms of your thoughts for that day, for your lifetime, before and after, related to your family, how you might have been brought up, and in every sense. So that helps us connect with an individual. And if you change your handwriting, your thoughts will change. If you change your thoughts, your handwriting will change. So if you see your own handwriting when you were a kid, it was different. When you grew up into a young adult, you have a different handwriting. You might have a different handwriting right now and even as you grow older. So that's all about your physiology as well as your thoughts. And as we know that we have technology, this era of sending an email or a text message or just pinging people online has made us really go away from a pen and paper. As simple activity as writing or drawing with a pen and paper, with whatever pressure that you really implement, not the pressure that you have on a digital pen, on a digital screen, but writing on a piece of paper really helps improve a person's health, improve a person's emotional stability, and also gives them a clearer perspective in life, because a piece of paper and pen is where you implement, you experiment, and you also put forth your thoughts. And those thoughts may or may not be judged by anybody else, including yourself, which is important. If it keeps on dwelling in your mind, you might be judging yourself and again wasting time, creating more barriers for yourself. Maybe barriers in terms of guilt, barriers in terms of jealousy, or so on and so forth. So writing every day is something that we recommend people. And writing could be also maybe painting or drawing things, rather than just writing or copying something from a script or from a book. Try to write something out of your memory. Try to draw a drawing if you like. But create something with your hands apart from something that you do digitally, so that it will help your overall health.
The takeaway for me here is how you should use physical pen and paper. I mean, I like to use something Apple Pencil on an iPad or something, you know, how the digital devices are these days. But I agree with you, writing on a pen and paper is just something very natural, very personal. And, from old days, people used to recommend writing kind of diary entries and so on. And now we are kind of using our phones and devices. But I think that act of writing and introspection can be very fruitful and healthy. So thanks for kind of raising that point here. So Akshay, the kind of question I have now is both of us are in New York, and New York is a very frenetic and chaotic place. So how do your views kind of relate with the city? And I'm just kind of curious about your thoughts around that.
For me, being analytical is, I would say, now a very significant part of me. Maybe Sherlock Holmes would have the habit of analyzing situations and scenarios. I believe New York is a very happening city, of course. And given that there are so many people around us, there is a wide variety of what you get to see as your sample data set, right? Every New Yorker, I take the subway to work. I see a lot of people, crowded metros in the morning, sometimes lesser crowd on the weekends, people running around. People here are really very ambitious and goal-oriented. Most of them are also, I would say, given the crowd and the frustration, are a little short-tempered in terms of walking in lines and less apologetic than what I have observed in other states. But but jokes apart, it is a very great place to be, especially if you are in an early stage of your career and you want to be a leader somewhere, so that you understand the background and the personalities of people as to where do they come from, what is it that an individual might be seeking, is it in line with your goal, is your goal in line with their goal. It applies to managers, leaders, and people who they work with. But apart from that, even if it comes to your family, your friends, it should be a gathering of like-minded thoughts and then building something creative out of it. And then when you are by yourself as an individual, focusing on your strength, studying the new aspects from a different dimension and bringing it back to the table.
True, Akshay. New York does provide a large sample set, which provides a really great number of personalities to learn and grow from. So my kind of the next kind of thing I want to talk about is kind of the people who don't have the data science or data analytics background. How can they use their kind of unique backgrounds for decisions at work or in their life?
Yeah, Sanket, I actually had a recent example. I was looking at a research paper that was studying the notes of an Indian classical raga, Indian classical composition that is based on a few lines being played in repetition with some impromptu improvisations being played on a given rhythm. And this analysis or research paper was talking about the prediction of what would be the next note played by the player. This player was a player of a string instrument, and that research paper had given all these calculations about what's the probability of getting this note, what are the notes permitted in this raga, can he use a note that is not permitted, what if he does use that note, in all these critical aspects. And when I really gave it a serious thought, I realized that it's all okay about trying to predict that. One might also enjoy the music that's literally going on in the background for that raga. But if you really want to know more, why don't you pick up that instrument and try playing it yourself? Maybe you will find some coordination that will make you feel that this is the right note that might be played. And that might be the note that you play rather than what somebody else has played. Because Indian classical music is complex and not every note, every pattern is one and the same. This also applies to an example where an artist might be using patterns given to how we analyze data. But if you try to analyze those strokes or the colors that a painter might choose, it may not be just like a black and white or a gray area, but there are literally so many options available. So that's the same thing about life, right? If you really want to know what comes next in a painting, just pick up a paintbrush, right? Just try to go paint yourself, paint whatever you feel like, and you will get to know that feeling of what maybe the real painter would have while doing that.
So the kind of insight I'm seeing here is that for anyone who doesn't have background in analytics or data science, what they can perhaps do is use their own unique backgrounds in whatever way or shape they have, and they can just like start playing with the data. So start painting, you know, start playing that music. So in the same way, like start doing kind of some kind of data analysis and start answering some questions. So my next question is around the different kinds of analytics, and if you could shed some light on them from a daily living kind of point of view.
For in a layman language, when we have three broader perspectives of analyzing data, we have descriptive analytics, predictive, and prescriptive analytics. So what descriptive, you might be aware, is it describes what has happened, right? So given this point for yourself, think about what has happened. For example, you might have eaten a particular food product which caused you stomach pain, and you know that you might not eat it again, similar with your allergies. And predictive analytics is anticipating what will happen in the future. So it's about the same thing, that maybe if I eat that same food again, I might get an allergy, I might get hurt. And then prescriptive analytics, the third part, is about providing a recommendation on what to do to achieve a certain goal. How do I stop that allergy? How do I not get that stomach ache? That could be done by taking medicines, thinking about what medicines I might need to take. But hey, maybe you should not eat that product in the first place, right? And this is just an example, but apply it to your own situations. May it be in terms of driving a car at the speeds that you drive, maybe reckless driving, or the habits that you have in terms of smoking, consuming alcohol in abnormal amounts as a compulsive disorder. And try to bring that analysis background or a non-analytics perspective to what you do every single day. Try to analyze your habits and try to convert them into healthier goals, healthier lifestyle, healthier living, so that you are happy and the people around you will also be happy.
That was really fascinating, Akshay. I really had a great time talking with you about all these different things, including like spirituality, consciousness, how we can use it at work, in our daily life. If you want to share something for our listeners in the end, please feel free to do so, and your contact information.
Thank you, Sanket. It was indeed a pleasure to be on your show. I really enjoyed this platform and this opportunity to share my experiences and my background. For the listeners, if you want to connect, you can find me on LinkedIn. My name is Akshay Kanade, A-K-S-H-A-Y, Kanade. And you can see I went to University of Colorado, Denver. So that's me. And feel free to shoot me a message and we can get in touch.
Okay, thanks Akshay. If you enjoyed today's episode, please rate and subscribe to this podcast. Also consider supporting this podcast from the link in the end in the description notes. Also, please share this podcast and episode with as many people as you can, because you know how difficult it is for new podcasts to be discovered. You know, it's only through your recommendations that we can build a bigger community. So thanks for listening and have a great week ahead.